Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, New Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming here live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM, Bumma Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you say yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to traditional owners across this beautiful country as Welcome Black. Have you say yarn up strong, your mob, National Talk Black. We're then going to jump straight in and have a deadly yarn with Rhoda Roberts, Artistic Director for Shine on Gimoy, and got Sister Rhoda on the line. Rhoda, good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks, Trevor. Yourself?
I'm well. Thank you for coming to the program, Sister. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, Sis.
Yep, okay. Now?
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Oh, g'day, everyone. I'm a Widjibal Wyabal woman from the Bundjalung Territories of Northern New South Wales, Southeast Queensland.
Beautiful, beautiful footprints. Let's talk about Shine on Gimoy, Gimoy as in Cairns. Tell us about this fantastic event, Sister.
Well, Shine on Gimoy is to bring and shine a light on the culture of Cairns, the hosts, Yindinji, but also the neighbouring groups across the region, celebrated through light and audio installations as well as a speakers program, a music program. We're starting small, but we think it will have an impact.
It's an inaugural event, isn't it?
Yes, we want to make it. Well, this is the first year, so hence we're starting small, but we want to grow this and make it a place to visit each year.
Lovely. And using light as the tool, a light that is the vehicle that brings people together, Shine on Gimoy, beautiful title. So can you give us a description of the light that we're using and how we're using it?
Well, I hope people will be amazed. I think one of the really special things about culture across Gimoy is the shields and the swords. So we're starting this year with a gateway to culture. And so people will, I think, be astonished by a 5.5 metre massive shields that depict, you know, the designs and story of the 8 clan groups.
Yes.
And, of course, the swords will be illuminated as well. So we're using all different types of light and projection. We have a series of stingrays that are lit up because of the importance of that story and songline right up to the Torres Strait. And we are also celebrating artists from Yarrabah and their close connection to Gimoy as well.
Good. So it becomes a powerful vehicle, a tool, a bridge builder in bringing black and white together, storytelling, and the effect of light, but our artists at the table as well. Sounds fantastic.
Absolutely. And I think one of the most exciting things is our opening ceremony, Calling Country. So again, we will see clans from Yindinji joining together as the host nation and calling in the neighbouring dance groups from the region. So I think if you've never had the opportunity to attend a corroboree, well, this is your moment. It's a modern-day corroboree.
Yes.
But I've really got to acknowledge that the beauty of it is the reclamation of language and having speakers like Carl Fourmile, others such as Mau Power working on the music components for this event because it's light and audio, will take people on another experience. And I actually think they'll recognise what an incredible cultural heritage the region holds.
Beautiful. And it's a free event, isn't it, Rhoda?
There's elements of it that are free, but we do have a speakers program. And it's ticketed, but it's really affordable. And if anyone wants to know about country there, this is an 8-part series. So it starts from the migration of our first peoples to this continent, right through to our sovereignty, our marine resources, and of course for me personally, when you talk about the way that we communicated in the old ways, whether it was through smoke, whether it was through the passing of message sticks, the communication tools has been labelled as one of the oldest in memory, and it's so ancient. And I just think to know that we had that tool and capacity is extraordinary. And, of course, we end our speaker's program with something that the whole nation's talking about, and, of course, that's the Truth Treaty and voice conversation that we have on the last day.
Beautiful. So fruit salad, everything's involved. So fantastic, and thank you for sharing, Rhoda. Of course, you'll be on Gimoi when it all happens?
I will indeed. Can't wait. It's going to be fabulous. So as many people can get there. You know, one of the great things about a light festival is families love it, so we hope everyone can come out and join us.
Lovely. The date, when is this all happening?
So it runs for 10 days from the 5th to the 15th of October, but from the 5th to the 8th, we have a music program at Salt House each night featuring artists such as Dan Sultan, Emily Warramara, Maisha, Troy Brady, David Hudson, a lot of locals, Delene Briscoe, so I hope people can get down and catch that as well.
Lovely, fantastic. Thank you for sharing. All the best, Rhoda, and we'll talk soon. Of course, we'll see you at Shine On Gimoi. Thank you, sister.
Thank you, Bama Bivara.
Too deadly. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly Yande, Rhoda Roberts, Artistic Director for Shine On Gimoi, and as she mentioned, for the 5th of October, going for 10 days, free event on the Cairns Esplanade, Shine On Gimoi. Do check it out, an inaugural event, and free of charge. So, immerse yourself with the lights and all the artwork that's going on and the artists as well performing. Fantastic event, and look, a great opportunity for us mob here in Cairns. We love getting together and using whatever vehicle that brings people together. So fantastic. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, and live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM, Bamba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. Across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out, NERS. Good morning to Deadly.
Looking at this great big land, the colorful scenery, it makes me glad. From the red dust to the deep blue sea, there's plenty of space around for you and me. We are so proud and very lucky. It's a land of many different amazing stories. Oh, it's a damn big island. Follow us, follow the sound home. Australia. I tell you my little home is Cape York.
Cape York, Black Image Band, and big shout out Black Image Band and Woodjul and that area, fantastic. And Jan Armstrong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program, live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns and Yidinji country. BBM Bummer Brief Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, we're going to catch up with Jan now with Benjamin Gertz, who's based in Townsville. And he's a Yes 23 spokesman, and he has been supporting the Yes 23 campaign through media interviews and answering the community's questions about the referendum. And got Ben on the line. Benjamin, good morning. How are you, brother?
Good morning, Trinity Trev. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, well, to start off with, my name is Ben Gertz. I'm based in Townsville. I'm a descendant of the Gugubardin people just around Greenvale, the Ngadju people of the Afton Tablelands around Malanda, and the Meriam people of the Eastern Torres Strait.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful platform, beautiful country. And I will say yes, yes, yes. And that's who you are. Yes 23 campaign. So, tell us how you feel about the referendum and why we should be voting yes, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. So for your background, I'm the campaign coordinator for Townsville for Yes, and we've been on the ground here for the last 3 months here campaigning at market stalls and doing letterboxing and phone calling and all sorts of different things. Mm-hmm. Just try and encourage people to vote yes in the upcoming referendum. Look, the main reason why I got involved in the referendum campaign is because I believe that the voice will actually improve the quality of outcomes when it comes to not only Indigenous policy development, but also the service delivery of things like health, education, and yeah, just the general service delivery to communities and mob.
Okay, so if we talk about yes getting through, what it is virtually advisory council at the table with government, helping with our decisions as First Nation people, and helping government make the right decisions regarding our people. It'll have no money, it'll have no power. Is that the case? Paint the picture, please.
Yeah, well, it's not so much that we won't have any money or have no power. I think it's about creating that direct line to the parliament, you know, the direct line to the cabinet, about just making sure that we have, a lot of our voices heard on a lot of issues that affect us, particularly up here in North Queensland. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the main thing is the reason why we need to have it is because, you know, we had ATSIC before that, we had FACATSI, we had the National Aboriginal Council, we had National Congress, all those different groups before this proposal was considered. And it's one of those things where, you know, like, it was always taken away by legislation. Mm. But the reason why we need to have it in the Constitution is because, at least, you know, if once it's enshrined the Constitution, it means that, you know, we have to have some form of, you know, whether it's an advisory body or whatever form it may take.
Sure. So if you you look at it, Australia is the only First World country on planet Earth that does not have a treaty with its First Nation people.
That's correct.
This could be a step towards the treaty, could you say?
Yeah, very possibly. I think that's the one thing I really, really like about the advisory body is that, look, it's going to be an advisory body where people can raise their concerns or issues or talk about what, you know, you talk about our aspirations as mob as well. Mm. And if treaty is one of those conversations, then if the advisory body, if the voice decides that, you know, treaty is something that our community is looking to pursue, then it's a great platform to raise that voice.
And if you look at the likes of the CEO of NAB, CEO of Telstra, CEO of Qantas, they've just a phone call away to the Prime Minister, whereas First Nation people don't have that access.
Yep, absolutely. That's the one big thing that we find too. And you see it a lot in Parliament generally, not even just in the business community, but you see all these different lobbying groups and you see these different advocacy bodies that exist. They've got direct lines in the Parliament and the Cabinet, so why can't blackfellas?
Yeah, exactly. So they're voting yes, there it is. Do you know the makeup of when, if the yes goes through, is it a committee of how many and who? How do they select the committee as such?
Yeah, look, unfortunately, I can't tell you that detail. I think the main thing is that at this stage, it's just, you know, we're voting on the concept of the voice and whether we agree with enshrining that concept in the Constitution. Mm. Those conversations will hopefully happen, you know, if the yes vote gets up, those conversations will happen over the next couple of years after the referendum happens. But at the same time, there was the Calmer-Langton report, and you know, it mentioned, I think, three different sort of models that were proposed at the time, and it was talking about, you know, equal representation of, you know, men and women. It was talking about the makeup of young people, elders, making sure that there's, you know, representation from remote and regional communities, like Yarri and Palm Island, for example.
Sure.
So, yeah, so those design principles were there in the Cal Melanchthon report, and it's envisioned that, you know, that any model or any sort of body will be made up of those design principles.
So across the board, representation, grassroots to a city slicker brother, Koori lad, you know.
That's it.
Someone in university, a sports person, but all black, and then having a say and being the voice for our people. That's the concept I'm picking up, yes?
That's exactly right, yes. Making sure we get representation from all different, you know, us mob, we're not the one sort of, you know, we're different groups of people. We're even saying Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, you know, two different groups there.
Yes.
You know, 400 different language groups and tribes across the country. And I guess, you know, like my experience growing up in a place like Townsville is still very different to someone growing up in Doomadgee, for example.
Yes.
You know, so even from a Townsville point of view, as you mentioned, a Koori from Western Sydney or something, it's one of those things where, you know, we just need to make sure we get all that experience represented at the table.
And then the other thing I'm picking up here and out on the streets there, especially non-Indigenous people, the thought of the voice going through, then having the power of kicking people out of their house, claiming back land. That's not the case.
That is not the case. And, you know, look, people said this back during the Mabo decision, and people said this back, you know, when the apology happened. And look, I still haven't got my free car yet. And look, I'm 33, living back with my parents. I'd love to know where I can get a free house, eh?
Yeah, sure. And there's nothing like that. Okay, well, thank you for sharing, my brother. So, yes, you're on the campaign, yes. And 14 October, that's the date,
that's
isn't
correct.
It?
Yeah. So 14th of October, but at the same time, if you're living in Cairns or Townsville, or even sort of major regional centres, you'll have pre-polling from, I think it's the 2nd or 3rd of October.
Okay.
To the Monday, Tuesday. If you're in Queensland, yeah, it's the 3rd because of the public holiday on the Monday. But if you're in the rest of the country, I think it's the 2nd is the start of pre-polling.
Okay, there it is. Benjamin Gertz, thank you, my brother. Thanks for sharing. I look all the best. Stay in touch, and we'll yarn soon, brother.
Cheers, Trini Trev. Thanks for the opportunity, eh?
Take care, bro. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Adele Yarn there. Benjamin Gertz, a Yes 23 spokesman for the referendum for the vote, Yes campaign. It's either yes or no on the 14th of October. Have your say, yarn up strong, and do your vote. That's what it's all about. But give us a call, have your say, yes or no. Either way, want to hear what you've got to say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Thinking about your body next to mine, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, you mob, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
It's your boy MSP. Ecole. I ask that for worry. Worry belong island Keseni. Ecole, take me go by again. Take me go by again. For my island, oh my, I got worry for you. Take me go by again. Take me go by again. For my island, oh my, I got worry for you. There were the sunny sets and the supporting.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. We've got a caller on the line. We've got HN, Henry Nona, on the line. Good morning, Henry. How are you, brother?
Yeah, kapu bata inga mai bala, moro buwai de back home.
Oh, too deli bala.
Yeah.
Before we start, bala, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, and where you're situated at the moment, brother. Go ahead, please.
Yeah,
bala.
My brother's situated out of WA.
Yes.
My mob, yeah, Tabu tribe from Saibai, and yeah, bloodline to Murray Island there, and also out of old Mapun there, outside of Weipa.
Beautiful. And, good footprint, brother. And you want to have your say in yarn, or what you want to talk about, Brother Hen?
Yeah, my brother, to all our listeners out there, just with reference to your previous caller, the Mabala, I think in terms of voting no, it's quite evident, Bala, that the voice can make laws.
The voice can, sorry, come again?
In terms of controlling fundings or sit in parliament. And, in terms of the committee, the Maibala, it gives advice, as you would know, on issues that affect us as First Nation people right across this country.
Yes.
And it's not a new radical idea. And when it comes to the global community, in terms of the United Nations Charter,
yes,
Australia is definitely failing miserably, Maibala, as you would know.
Okay.
For example, us with sovereign Dinji government, when it comes to our governing structure, it's totally different from what they're pursuing right now.
Sure, yes.
And I think, just to add clarity to listeners out there, families right across our nation, Indigenous and non-Indigenous families. And it's quite evident, brother, the voice can make laws and control funding and sit in parliament. And like I mentioned, the Ebola, that it's not a new radical idea. And I just hope that, when family go to the voting booths with the right conscience, right knowledge and understanding around what we're actually committing to.
Mm. So you are a yes man is what I'm picking up.
No, Maibala, I'm a no voter.
You're no voter? And explain why? Yeah. Sorry, come again.
Sorry, Maibala?
Explain why no.
Yeah, just specifically around, like I mentioned, Maibala, the voice can make laws. They can control funding, whether you're talking about state or federal funding,
Okay. Whatever
industry you're in, what sector you're in. So we've got to be realistic in terms of when you talk about sovereignty, when you talk about total 100% control. And the history of this country speaks for itself when it comes to delivering failed policies and programs. And in terms of being an advisory body, I know that the families that actually all for the yes vote, I respect their decision, but we've got to be realistic. But I know that in terms of making progress going forward, but when you talk about sovereignty and when you talk about treaty, it's totally different dynamic again.
Mm. So he feels that the yes goes through, it'll have no power. So what's the use of it, is what you're saying, is what I'm picking up.
Yeah, brother.
Okay.
And those areas I've just mentioned to you, they're my brother and our listeners, in terms of the voice can't make laws, can't control funding.
So there's no power.
When you look at the history of this country,
yeah,
we're always at the mercy of bureaucrats. That's why I don't take them for face value.
Sure.
When it comes to past and present government in office, I honestly believe, Maibala, true leaders, they focus on generation. When it comes to the bureaucrats of this country, past and present, they only worry about voters in terms of not thinking about the next generation who actually gets in office. I believe true leaders have a generational perspective. And, Bala, I think, as you would know, and our listeners familiar with the mainstream sector, how much time funding's been always cut, whether you talk about the private sector. So we have to be realistic and have an holistic view. I know that in terms of transformation and change right across this nation, but, that's why I've actually will be voting no, Maibala.
Okay, brother. And would you have, if not this, then what? Have you got any other ideas? What's your thought on that?
To be honest, my brother, I think sovereign Dinji government speaks for itself.
Okay.
Together with all our other alliance.
United Nations Declaration, Rights of Indigenous People, for First People to create their own government.
You're dead right there, my brother.
Okay.
And I know that it's a radical radical transformation, but we got to start somewhere in terms of thinking of our next generation as we transition into the future.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, my brother,
when it
and
comes
giving
to,
your side of the story.
My meeting extended family.
Yes.
I think sovereign Dinji government, brother. I think yes. A micronation, we just exist to actually coexist and work in alliance with Australian government.
Yes.
And
friends of the Commonwealth.
Having that sort of model in place, Maibala, it'll actually go a long way. But, I think only time will tell. What's your realistic view on that, my brother?
Yeah, well, to the listeners out there who are not aware, SYG, Sovereign Yinji Government, here on Gimoi, have created their own government. Been running now for about 9 odd years, and under United Nations Declaration Rights of Indigenous People, because the Commonwealth doesn't have a treaty with the First Nation people, they've created their own government. They have their own flag, have their own coat of arms, not taxpayers' money. They operate on their own funds. But it's opening up doors and communicating with all the different prime ministers of the world and letting them know that Gimoi's Yidinji is open for business. So a smart way to operate and a legal way. You there, Henry?
Yeah, listening to you, my brother.
Yeah. So that's what I know. You're saying that's the way to go. So you're a no for the vote in the Commonwealth space, a man in this space, you pick no. But a man that wears the hat in the other space, Sovereign Yinji Government, feels that that's the best way to go, brother, for First Nation people across this country.
Yeah, my brother, I think in terms of when you talk about eradicating the cycle, poverty cycle in this country, in terms of what we're talking about in the political arena,
yep,
I think it's quite evident, my brother, we're always at the mercy of bureaucrats.
Yes.
And past and present. And the history of this country speaks for itself when it comes to delivering failed policies and programs. Past and present bureaucrats, they only worry about outcomes.
Sure.
In terms of programs.
Mm-hmm.
When you're focusing on when they deliver their services, state and federal services right across this country. And I think only time will tell, but I think the reason why I'm voting no, I've realized that the committee, the voice committee, they can make laws.
Sure.
And
a toothless tiger is what I'm picking up here thinking.
Yeah, my brother, it's the principle behind what I'm trying to get across to our listeners. And I can speak from my lived experience back home in the Torres Strait, for example. There's 60-plus government agencies. And when you're talking about funding, in terms of reducing services in the past. And I think when you talk about total ownership and when you talk about treaty, when you talk about sovereignty, I take my hat off. You and me got TSI heritage, my brother, when it comes to the Mabo case.
Yes.
In terms of, yes, it's one thing, recognition, going back 1992. But it's more than just recognition. We want ownership. We want total control when you talk about sovereignty.
Yes.
And I hope our listeners will actually take all our previous and callers' perspective on board. And I respect the yes voters in terms of their position. But, yeah, you got to call it for what it is, brother. I don't sugarcoat anything.
Yep, brother. Yep. So you as a no man, what's your take on Jacinta Price stating the fact that colonization was the best thing to happen for First Nation people?
To be honest, my brother, in the context of European settlers in this country, going back 1788, brother, racism, it's a taught behavior from each household, from generation to generation.
You're not born with it,
And in terms of, I believe, I come from a very political family. My godfather, a lot of TSI family knows him. And also on the mainland with the O'Shane family in Gumai country there, in Cairns there, Michelangelo Newey.
Yep.
And going back to your question there, my brother, to do with Sister Girl there in NT, I think we can't change the history of this country, my brother. We can allow our past to dictate our future. But I'm thinking generationally, my brother. I'm not thinking about the next election coming around the corner. That's why I don't trust our past and present bureaucrats in office. It's all about focusing on voters. And I believe true leaders have a generational perspective. And going forward with your question there, my brother, with that sister girl, as you know, everyone, free moral agent in this country. We're all entitled to our opinion. And I respect her decision on that front. And I just hope, my brother, that, I think when you talk about the political arena, it's an art in itself. I think we need to establish an Indigenous academy
sure.
to actually set our next generation up for success.
Yes.
Study the art of politics.
Do you see ever a black prime minister happening in this country?
Definitely, my yes. brother.
All right. Good.
Definitely.
Okay.
As a visionary in my family, as an established business entrepreneur in WA, my brother, I believe
good.
Change is going to come.
Okay, brother.
Better days ahead.
Okay.
In terms of your question there.
Okay, my brother. Well, big thank you for ringing in, brother. Great to hear from the other side, a no man, and your reasons for selecting no. But all the best, my brother. You travel safe, and we'll yarn soon, brother.
Yeah, kui me so for the opportunity, my brother. Awe so au, and for your listeners there. And you have another safe working week. God bless you, my brother.
God bless. Take care, brother. Beautiful yarn there. Henry Nona, based in WA, Torres Strait Island man, and his statement regarding the referendum, he's a no, and his reason for the no. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Always second guessing it. New York is a place I'd rather be. on your mob. It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Is to recognize the ignition of this nation. I, to indigenize history's information. O, is to overcome the obstaculization. N, is to nationalize this recognition in our nation. R, is to recognize from the past the injustices. Recognizing the cost of what they did to our ancestors. Recognizing the pain that was felt and that was fought. Recognizing the distance from putting change into thought. Recognizing the sacrifice it takes to break a war. Recognizing the names of our elders upon the wall. Recognizing the fathers, how they passed down to their sons. Recognizing don't be the bullet, be the gun, son. I, to indigenize information on the board. I, to indigenize situations from afar. Oh, it's to overcome the obstacles of life. Overgliding like I was Greg Inglis in full flight. And it's to nationalize this recognition in our nation. Nationalize through education, reconciliation. Takes a generation to lead the nation. From the beginning, we're still here like the Southern Cross constellation. It's to recognize the ignition of this nation. Ha, to indigenize history's information. Oh, it's to overcome the obstaculization. And it's to nationalize this recognition in our nation. It's to recognize the ignition of this nation. Ha, to indigenize history's information. Oh, it's to overcome the obstaculization. And it's to nationalize this recognition in our nation. It's to recognize we were sold when we were bought. Recognizing the history the children were never taught. To indigenize the way that we teach. Indigenize the way that our kids perceive the streets. Indigenize to debate the facts with no lies. Indigenize the amount of our constitutional rights. Intruding on conversations about our culture when it's white. Indigenize the intentions of turning day into night. To identify there's no law for sniffing paint. To identify institutionalized hate. Oh, it's to overcome a government that waits. Overcome the odds like you're a halo above the saint before it's too late. Remember, live before you take. Override the hate like you were Blade deciding fate. And it's for nowhere near never giving up. It's like you're taking the very last sip from the very queen's cup. It's to recognize the ignition of this nation. To indigenize history's information. Oh, it's to overcome the obstaculization. And it's to nationalize this recognition in our nation. It's to recognize the ignition of this nation. To indigenize history's information. Oh, it's to overcome the obstaculization. And it's to nationalize this recognition in our nation. It's to recognize. To indigenize. Oh, it's to overcome. And it's to nationalize. It's to recognize. To indigenize. Oh, it's to overcome. And it's to nationalize.
Yeah, recognition, Savage Soldier here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416 is the number you need to call. You can text a brother as well, 045-714-0550, or our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Yarn Up Strong, you're up. Looking at the news for today. Error in the project star, Hamish McDonald slapped down of Kamal on $40 billion Indigenous spend. Furious debate has erupted over whether claims the government forks out $40 billion a year on Indigenous Australians are accurate. A fiery exchange between the project star Hamish McDonald and beloved entertainer Kamal has shone a fresh light on the billions of dollars spent on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people each year. A central argument of many opponents of the Voice to Parliament is that a huge amount of money goes to Indigenous programs already, hinting at wastage that might only get worse. The argument contributed to Kamal's changing his voting intentions for a third time, now planning to vote no at the referendum. In his interview, the project about his flip-flopping views, Kamal repeatedly claimed the government spends $40 billion a year on Indigenous Australians. And a heated argument started right there. So there it is. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarning with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM, Bumble Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Talking about CSIRO, invest $500,000 to help Indigenous students pursue futures in STEM. Australia's National Science Agency, CSIRO, has bestowed more than $500,000 to the University of Wollongong, UOW, to enable more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students to pursue a future in STEM, that's science, technology, engineering and mathematics. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Brother Dr. Chris Burke. He's Director of Indigenous Science and Engagement at CSIRO. On the line, Dr. Chris, good morning. How are you, Dr. Chris?
Oh, hello there. Chris Burke here.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming to the program. Brother, before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yeah, sure.
And who your mob?
Hi.
Yes, where you from. Yeah, let us know. Thank you.
Chris Burke here. I'm the Program Director for Indigenous Science and Engagement at CSIRO. I'm a Gamilaroi fella and I live on Ngunnawal country in Canberra.
Yes, beautiful, fantastic. So, look, money's a tool. $500,000 gift from CSIRO. You're walking out with open arms and a big smile on your dial, yes?
Absolutely. This is one way in which CSIRO can contribute to developing a STEM science, technology, engineering and maths pipeline of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to fuel the workforce and innovation going into the future.
Good, fantastic. Look, a great platform for First Nations students to be in this space. And I always say, Dr. Chris, we need more black successes, but not only on the football field.
Absolutely. I mean, these days in community, kids know that there's Indigenous doctors, lawyers, yes, dentists, but to know there's people doing science research that you can actually build a career, feed your family as a scientist is not something that's really well known.
Yes.
So these scholarships are a way to both signal to kids at university who are studying STEM right now,
yes,
that there's an opportunity and that Australia's National Science Agency, CSIRO, is seriously interested in engaging with them.
And when you talk about science and you're talking about the professional sense and all over the globe, whether it be geologists or what have you, but having First Nation people at the table and 60,000 years of information, there's a nice bridge builder there regarding the education and the knowledge on science in the cultural sense as well, yes?
Yeah, I mean, we really wanted to science with an Indigenous lens, bring people's ways of knowing and being and doing to solve the greatest problems that Australia faces, but also to make CSIRO the science agency of choice for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. I mean, we've got over 50 projects on the go across Australia involving Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in one way or another, and we need to have more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander scientists and researchers to be able to meet the demand that's coming from community and organisations and individuals to provide the science answers that they want.
Yeah, for sure. Dr. Chris, brother, would you have numbers of First Nation people in university across the country studying STEM science?
Of course. We know that there's over 400 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students studying STEM, not including health sciences, but studying physical sciences like chemistry, physics, environmental sciences, geography, geology, information technology, engineering, building sciences, architecture, all those group of sciences that provide the STEM workforce for the Australian community.
Those numbers are high, 400, that's fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, sorry, that's actually 400 graduates a year. What I meant to say was there's nearly 3,000 students.
Okay. On that journey, yes.
Yeah. But what they need to be able to see is the opportunity that a science agency is saying, hey, you can take your science degree and you can keep on doing the stuff you love. You can get into the labs and do the research. You can start working with mob to look for answers to their particular problems. You can think about what it is within traditional Indigenous knowledge that you may hold with in your community or have access to that is going to sort of really help others if that's your bent.
Yeah, fantastic. A bit of background with yourself, Dr. Chris. What did you study? What did you major in?
Yeah, well, I'm a dentist.
Okay.
I was actually the first Indigenous dentist back in the 1980s to graduate. I graduated from Melbourne University. And look, I know from practical experience as a student that having a scholarship really helps. It's a bit of money to provide you with things that you need to make your life that little bit easier as a student. And it also forms a connection. It provides a connection between CSIRO, and the student, because what we're really interested in is when they graduate, we've got an Indigenous graduate entry program to say, hey, after you've finished your degree, come and work with us for a while. Do some work in some labs, get out on some boats into the sea, get out into the field, learn what it's like to be as a scientist, and decide if this is something you want to do with your life, and we can provide a career opportunity that'll take you through and feed your family and all the things you need.
About looking up, a great platform. Dr. Chris, thank you very much. All the best, my brother. You take care. Keep smiling.
Yeah, you too, Trevor. Thank you.
Partner punt, and we'll yarn soon.
Okay. See you then.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn. That's Dr. Chris Burke, and Director of Indigenous Science and Engagement at CSIRO. And look, fantastic. A further $500,000 gift from CSIRO for the STEM program, Science, Technology, Engineering, Mathematics. Australia's National Science Agency has bestowed that $500,000 gift. So fantastic. University of Wollongong, a UL, to enable more Aboriginal and Torres Strait students to pursue a future in STEM. Too deadly. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416.